Hello there, and welcome to the Illinois Radio Reader. My name is Cedric Richardson, and in this half hour, I'll be bringing you news from the Vermilion County area with a concentration on Danville and surrounding communities. In our first piece, an AmeriCorps team is to help rehab houses. Habitat for Humanity of Danville is getting a much-needed hand with two rehabilitation projects from an AmeriCorps team. The 9-member team, who range in age from 19 to 24, is in town for 6.5 weeks to help rehab habitat houses at 1115 North Robinson Street and 1112 North Franklin Street, and work at the Restore in downtown Danville. The team is also donating independent service projects for other organizations, including the Danville Parks Department and Danville Family YMCA, on the weekends during their stay. They bring a lot of energy to our projects, which started several months ago, said Paul Sermonsheim, Habitat's executive director. They've been working on Robinson Street since they got here, and it's very close to completion. When they leave, the Franklin Street house will be very close to completion, depending on the materials. In 2015, another AmeriCorps team came to town to work on the bike trails at Kickapoo State Park. While they were here, they came in and did some hours with Habitat, Sherman Symes said, adding that it got him thinking about applying for a team for an urban and rural development project. He put in an application late last year and learned it was approved in February. Obviously, we were thrilled, he said, adding that both Habitat homes were sold back to the organization and needed major renovations before new families could move in. The team of 5 men and 4 women arrived in Danville after intensive training at AmeriCorps North Central Regional Headquarters in Vinton, Iowa. There, they learned construction and safety skills, as well as how to operate as a team and represent the organization. During the 10-month program, the team will complete 3 more 6 to 7 week projects in the country. In between, it will spend a transition week back in Vinton, where members will get their next assignment and learn where they will stay. Their quarters in Danville, the old number 2 fire station on Walnut Street, which serves as the Habitat's administrative offices. We got really lucky with the housing because other teams are in cabins or outside camping, said Anastasia Bayer, 20 years old, who's from New Jersey and Florida. Bayer, who finished her freshman year at Rowan University in New Jersey, but had not declared a major, joined AmeriCorps hoping it might help steer her toward a career path. I also wanted to give back to my community, she said. Prior to her training, she didn't know much about construction. I learned fast, Bayer said, adding many of her family and friends would be surprised to hear about some of the things she's done. So far, the team has painted, installed sinks and toilets, and landscaped at the Robinson Street house. It's also going to install new vinyl flooring. The Franklin Street house will be an even larger project, said teammate Darius Gray of Maryland. They have to do all of that, plus demolish an area the previous homeowner had put in and added insulation. Matt Tettelbach, 23 of Maryland, serves as team leader and is responsible for the safety, well-being, productivity, and development of the other members. He said members who hail from California, New Jersey, New York, Vermont, and Washington come from diverse backgrounds. But we've really come together, he said, adding he's proud of what they've accomplished. Elizabeth Clint, 24, of New Jersey, recently finished a biology degree and was waiting tables when she signed up. she had witnessed an old boyfriend's growth in the program. It was tremendous, and I knew the program would test me in ways I couldn't get from any other, she said. I have learned a lot about my patience level, both with myself on some of these projects and with other people. And I've learned a lot about construction. One of my future goals is to build my own house from the ground up. Rohrer apologized on Facebook and said he regretted sharing the comments, calling his actions a lapse in judgment. No one even talks about it anymore, Rohrer said on Monday, adding that he got a lot of supportive comments after the controversy, even from people he doesn't know, expressing their support of him and free speech. I was overwhelmed with all of the people who were speaking on my behalf. Rohrer said some who were upset with his post called for a boycott of Indian's Pizza, a restaurant his wife runs in the southern part of the county. But he said it was at that business where people approached him to express support. The whole thing was silly, he said. A couple of people wanted to use it as an excuse to step down from their positions they were in because the election didn't go how they wanted. Rohrer said he's looking forward to his third term as successor, a job he enjoys that's also the realization of a childhood goal, running for elected office. But he said the flap has changed how he handles political posts on Facebook. I scroll past it. I don't even comment on anything political, he said. Nobody's mind is ever changed by somebody's posting anything political on Facebook. Academy students are to learn about work. Students at Kenneth D. Bailey Academy will experience on Friday what it's like in the real world of work. During the Academy's fifth annual Career Day, representatives from more than a dozen different companies and fields of interest in Danville and the surrounding areas will talk to students about what they do for a living and what job opportunities are available. Principal Tracy Cherry originally came up with the idea to organize a Career Day, and students offer suggestions on the type of businesses they want to know more about. They do a survey ahead of time, and we try to accommodate their requests, Cherry said. Students will spend the entire school day attending career session workshops in the top 8 fields in which they are interested. The kids write down which ones they want to go to, and we try to accommodate their first, second, and third choices. In the past, students were able to attend only 6 career session workshops, but this year, the Bailey Academy staff created fewer but larger groups and added 7th graders to the groups from its middle school location at the Jackson Building. There are fewer groups, so they're able to attend more sessions, explains Cherry. During each 40-minute workshop, business professionals will make presentations covering everything from what to expect in a particular field and the education needed for a job to various other topics related to their company or field of interest. A question and answer session will follow the workshop presentations. The kids really enjoy it, said Cherry. The older kids are honed in on getting their graduation credits this time of year, but once they start participating in the sessions, they enjoy it too. Dr. Jaya Nelson, a Danville High School graduate and dentist at Aspen Dental, will speak to the entire student body from 2:15 to 2:40 p.m. that day. We wanted the students to hear her message, said Cherry. The companies and individuals participating in this year's Career Day will include Genpact, Veterans Affairs Recreational Therapy, Danville Area Community College, Plumber and Electrician Apprenticeships, First Midwest, McLean Midwest, Danville Police Department, Danville District 118, Sterling Auto Body, U.S. Army, Vermilion County Animal Shelter, Joanne Carey, and Hair Expressions. Commercial News Staffers Win Awards. Commercial News staff members were among award winners announced Monday by the Illinois Associated Press Media Editors in its annual newspaper contest. Entries included stories, photos, and digital entries for news, sports, features, editorials, and columns published during 2016. There were 934 entries in the contest from 38 daily newspapers. Judges come from newspapers in states other than Illinois. Reporter Brendan Dennison received a first place award for his series, Everything Was Black, about heroin addiction in Vermilion County. He also received a third place award for his story, Potential Problem, about the coal ash stored near the Middle Fork River at the former coal-fired power plant north of Oakwood. Photographer Susan Joy McKinney received a first place award for her photo of Dick Van Dyke during his return to Danville last summer. Sports editor Chad Dare received a second place award for his sports column, Tourney Streak Continues for Illinois. Reporter Carol Rome received a second place award for her story on how local schools are dealing with a teacher shortage. In other local news, the Zoning Commission is to consider a bar permit. A second location for the pub is being proposed in South Danville. The Danville Area Planning and Zoning Commission on Thursday will consider a special use permit requested by Rush Brothers Incorporated doing business as the pub at 12 East North Street. The permit is to allow for a bar slash tavern at 17 Parker Street in the B2 Highway Business Zoning District. The location is south of Newton's Cleaning and Restoration Building in South Danville at the northwest corner of Parker and Catlin-Tilton Road that dead-ends near there. There are houses to the north and west of the location along Forest Street. There would not be food at the location, but a bar and video gaming machines. The one-story building is used for office and storage space by the Rushes. The property is designated highway commercial usage on the city's future land use map. Danville Planning and Urban Services Manager Chris Milliken said the building is owned by the Rushes and they previously leased it. There is a liquor license available for the secondary location, Milliken said, who also added city officials have been told there would be no food at this point. Milliken said the city has received a couple phone calls from neighboring property owners with concerns about an increase in pedestrian and vehicular traffic and parking. Parking across the street would be on land that is in Tilton, he noted. Also Thursday, the commission will consider a zoning petition request by the estate of John T. Gullick. The request is for the property at 914 North Vermilion Street, the former Gullick's Ileana Medical Equipment and Supply Building, to be rezoned from P1 Professional to B3 General Business Zoning to allow for the parking lot at the location owned by the estate to be zoned the same as the building. Milliken also will give an overview of ongoing planning projects. Coming up, the Danville Area Planning and Zoning Commission will meet at 5:15 p.m. Thursday at the Robert E. Jones Municipal Building located at 17 West Main Street. And in keeping with liquor licenses, another story, Alderman is to act on additional liquor licenses and temporary licenses. In addition to a budget hearing, Alderman tonight will consider approving the addition of two new liquor license classifications and adding the riverfront area to city property where alcohol will be allowed. Changes with temporary liquor licenses and the distance package liquor stores can be located from churches and schools also are a part of the proposed liquor ordinance changes. Council members meet at 6 p.m. today at the Robert E. Jones Municipal Building at 17 West Main Street. The City Council's Public Services Committee last week unanimously voted to approve the liquor license changes. The changes include adding Class S and Class V liquor license classifications. Class S would be geared towards salons and spas. Corporation Counsel David Westner said the city administration has been approached by a couple of individuals who own hairstyling businesses with the suggestion of having a liquor license for when they have wedding parties, for example, who want to come in and celebrate with mimosas or something. "We are business friendly here in Danville, and contrary to many people's opinions," Westner said about the city agreeing to consider these liquor licenses. City officials have discussed limiting the licenses to 3, so the licenses wouldn't be at every hair salon in the city. The language for the licenses include, "shall authorize the retail sale of wine, beer, or other malt beverages, and a limited variety of liquor, not more than 3 types, for consumption on the premises of a salon or spa. Salon and spa shall mean a business which offers services including hair care, manicures, and pedicures. The sale of liquor shall be incidental to the primary function of the business. A licensee shall not be permitted to operate a lounge area in which alcoholic liquor alone may be purchased. Gross sales of alcohol shall constitute no more than 40% of the total gross sales for such premises. The license is not eligible for video gaming." Ward 3 Alderwoman Sharon McMahon said she can see why and where every salon and spa will want a license, and limiting the number could be unfair. Ward 1 Alderwoman Brenda Brown also added last week, females now bring their own alcohol to salons and spas to celebrate. Wesner said golf courses also see and have seen people bring their own liquor and having business sell provide alcohol lets them capture revenue. In those instances now with salons, Mayor Scott Eisenhower said temporary liquor licenses should be sought from the city. Ward 2 Alderman Dan Duncan said he thinks it is a valid license and he's seen elsewhere where one could get beer while waiting at a men's barbershop. Eisenhower last week said the limit can be removed. There also are other limitations with the need for a state liquor license. The addition of a Class B liquor license would be for businesses and entities where there are live, theatrical, or stage performances. These licenses would be limited to 3, and they also have the 40% liquor sale limitation and would not be eligible for video gaming. The license cost for Class S and Class B would be $500 per year. Under the proposed changes for temporary liquor licenses, city officials say some people come in for temporary licenses every week. The temporary license circumvents them from getting a full liquor license, and when they may not be able to get a full license. To prevent that, the applicant shall provide a copy of the state liquor license no more or no less than 48 hours prior to the event. The temporary liquor licenses also shall not be issued to the same applicant more than once every 3 months. Wisner said the city is trying to clamp down on liquor at events and involvement by the Danville Police Department. The temporary licenses are intended for events such as wedding receptions, he said. The city has issued about 50 temporary liquor licenses in the last 8 months. Eisenhower said there probably are about 25 legitimate uses in those 50 in which the city wants to see continue. He said the change allows for more oversight by the city and accountability for the entity with the license and paying taxes. Other liquor ordinance changes are to add problems with owners and employees in their own establishments to be grounds for suspension and revocation of licenses, allow possession of alcohol on city property along the riverfront and behind the Civic Center, and indicating the downtown area boundaries for alcohol at Summer Sounds, Culture Shock, and other downtown events. The change the distance from within 100 feet to within 1,000 feet of a packaged liquor store can be located from a church or school. Ward 4 Alderman Mike O'Kane asked why the city is only picking on packaged liquor stores. It's the nature of the vehicular and pedestrian movement around liquor stores. When you look at packaged liquor stores in our community, the pedestrian and vehicular movement around them is not suitable for neighborhoods that have schools and churches. That's what we observed and what law enforcement has observed. Eisenhower also added, We want people to know up front where they can locate their business. He said someone then can look up a map and see. That's what we tried to do with other zoning classifications, he said. City officials also want to take a stronger position to review liquor license location changes. The language change would read, "No change in location shall be permitted unless the proposed new location is a proper one for the retail sale of alcoholic liquor under the law of this state and the ordinances of this city, and where the provision of alcohol at the proposed location would not be detrimental or create negative influences on the surrounding neighborhood." In other business, council members will consider amending the Community Development Block Grant Annual Action Plan for 2015, approving the CDBG Annual Action Plan for 2017, and authorizing auditing services. And now some of the obituaries for today. Charles Bell. Charles Ray Bell, 88, of Rossville, died at 10:30 a.m. Friday, March 31, 2017, at Carroll Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Graveside services will be at 11 a.m. Wednesday at Rossville Cemetery, Rossville. Pastor Matt Stump will officiate. Military rites will be accorded by Hoopston American Legion Post 384. Burial will be in Rossville Cemetery at Blurton Funeral Home at 309 East Washington Street in Hoopston is in charge of arrangements. Charles Colson, 68, of Catlin, passed away at his home with family members by his side on Saturday, April 1st, 2017. A celebration of Charles' life will be held at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville at 6 p.m. Tuesday, April 4, 2017. A visitation will be held at the funeral home from 4 to 6 p.m. Tuesday. Burial will be at a later date at Fort McPherson National Cemetery in Maxwell, Nebraska. Please go and join Charles' family in sharing memories on his tribute wall at sunsetfuneralhome.com. Donald G. Longer, 89, of Morton, formerly of Danville, passed away peacefully on Saturday, April 1st, 2017, at AC Restmore in Morton. A service to celebrate the life of Donald Longer will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, April 6, 2017, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Pastor Mark Kaiser, will officiate. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Park. Visitation will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, April 5th, also at Sunset in Danville. In lieu of other expressions of sympathy, memorials may be made to Ileana Antique Auto Club, P.O. Box 245, Danville, Illinois, 61832. A.C. Restmore at 1500 Parkside Avenue in Morton, Illinois. That zip code is 61550. Or Ridgeview Baptist Church, located 3838 North Vermilion Street in Danville, 61832. Please join Don's family in sharing memories of him through his tribute wall at sunsetfuneralhome.com. And that's all the obituaries for today. Police are investigating shots that hit homes and vehicles. Police are investigating a Saturday night shooting in which two houses were struck by gunfire. Commander Josh Campbell said officers were called to the 200 block of Kentucky Street at about 11:30 p.m. for a report of multiple gunshots. When they arrived, they learned the two houses and two vehicles had been struck. No people were injured, said Campbell. He added that no arrests have been made yet. Funny Girl hits stage this weekend. The Danville Area Community College Players will present the musical Funny Girl at 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 2 p.m. Sunday in the Bremer Theater on the DACC campus. Tickets are $15 for adults and $5 for students. The semi-biographical musical is based on the life and career of Broadway star Fanny Brice, including the stormy relationship with entrepreneur and gambler Nikki Amstein. Directors are Philip Langley and Glenda Bowling, with musical direction by Teresa Ross and David Schroeder. The choreography is by Nicole Miller. And in our final piece, contestants raise $6,000 to fight cancer. It's not the crown or title that makes a queen. It is the person that wears it. With that motto, Beauty of Hope strives to make a difference in the surrounding communities. The nonprofit organization, which was founded on the principle of giving back, raises money for the American Cancer Society. Its goals are to build awareness and raise donations for this cause. The Beauty of Hope pageant is now in its fifth year of working with the American Cancer Society. This year, contestants raised more than $6,000. The 34 contestants completed March 4th at Crossroads Christian Church in Danville. The pageant is for girls and young women ages 5 to 21 who reside in Indiana and Illinois. During the pageant process, the contestants go through an interview with the judges, model clothing, and evening wear, and answer an on-stage question. One queen in each of the five divisions was crowned, and a special humanitarian award was presented to Haley Carlton, who raised more than $1,000 for the American Cancer Society. Other top winners were Little Miss Mika Wojcicki, Young Miss Haley Carlton, Junior Miss Praise Odomis, Teen Miss Rachel Lewis, and Miss Story Nickel. Cherished Queen was awarded to Sheridan Carlson. The title goes to a past queen who accumulates the most points for attending events and doing volunteer work throughout her year of reign. Special recognition was given to the following contestants: Crystal Cardwell, Sophia Wright, Kyra Kiger, Haley Carlton, Mia Nix, Liberty Faber, Haley Harness, Jalen Allen, Allie Swaney, Kathleen McGrady, Christina Crowder, Praise Odomas, Jasmine Bayless for collecting $100 or more from the American Cancer Society. Once the queens were chosen, the journey begins. Throughout their year of reign, they will attend many events for the cause with the hope of creating more awareness in the surrounding communities. The 2017 royalty will attend this year's Ileana Relay for Life, which includes Vermilion County, Illinois, and Vermilion Fountain and Warren counties, all in Indiana. The relay will be held June 23rd at Fountain Central High School in Vetersburg, Indiana. The Beauty of Hope benefit pageant has received a lot of support from local businesses and volunteers, including Cody Smith, the local ACS representative, photographer Amber Christopher, and MCs Abby Foster and Kayla Murray. Bell and Dickinson said they appreciated Crossroads Church for hosting the 2017 event. And with that, I thank you once again for joining me here on the Illinois Radio Reader. Once again, my name is Cedric Richardson. It's been a great pleasure to read with you, and I look forward to the next time. Goodbye.